Apple is like a ship with a hole in the bottom, leaking water. And my job is to get the ship pointed in the right direction.
Well, thanks for joining us for this second episode of the Arm Yourself podcast. If you have any questions, you can email us at armyourself@arlenco.com. Again, that's armyourself@arlenco.com. Today, we have the privilege of having Dustin Neal join us. He is one of our top sales guy, because I don't want any of our other people to feel like they're the top salesperson either, but he really is probably one of the best salespeople that we've got, and a personal friend of mine, and been in the business for him for a long time. And we were lucky to get Dustin years ago. We hired his friend, and we had a shortage, and his friend invited him to come in, and he did. And I am just so glad that we've got him. So the Arm Yourself podcast will from heretofore be hosted by Dustin and myself, until we get some better talent from a different talent pool.
It's good to be here, Ken.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah,
for sure.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about some of the throughput problems that we've got in distribution. There are some issues with getting product in to the stores, and we have customers that are really struggling with getting some of these products in. And we know that it's a problem and that it's a challenge. And then the other issue that's kind of the elephant in the room is tariffs. So for the past 2 to 3 years, manufacturers have been imposing tariff fees on a product that comes in, and we have these problems that we've got to deal with. So that's what this episode is going to deal with, is tariff charges and increases on those, and then throughput. So product on the shelves that's available for customers when they need it. Because at Arlenco, we do our very, very best to make sure that we're getting product on the shelves that we need. We're not perfect, and as everybody well knows who's listening to this, but I don't know any distributor that is perfect with this, but we can sure as heck do our best to try to get better at putting stuff on the shelves. So yeah. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, it's the industry right now is kind of upended a little bit because of obviously the coronavirus and everything that's going on. So us as an industry basically have to find some new solutions to some of these problems that we've got coming up.
Yeah. One of the bigger ones that comes to my mind is this vacuum unit. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
We've had issues with some items crossing borders at times. Yeah. Basically, we've got an order of vacuums that's kind of stalled at the Canadian border right now, unfortunately. So it's just part and parcel to some of the problems that we face today in the industry.
There's so we no put doubt. In the order of several weeks ago, and it was the trucks, as I understand it, were literally stopped at the border.
Yes.
Yeah. They would not allow the product to come in. And for anybody who knows the Central Vac business, Central Vac is, how would I say this? So Canada is to Central Vac what France is to air travel, mm-hmm. and jet fabrication. So
absolutely.
Anyhow, we get our units out of Canada, and they are by far probably the best units on the market. But getting them in is kind of been a challenge. So anyhow, that's just one example of some of the issues that we've had. So in your estimation, what industries would you say have suffered the most from this?
It seems like, almost everybody suffers a little bit because of where we get a lot of the materials for manufacture from. A lot of it comes from China, and due to tariffs and obviously, once again, the coronavirus causing issues with problems in China, it's a lot of security has had issues. A lot of camera manufacturers have had issues, it seems like. Almost anything that comes from overseas right now is having a problem.
So do we have any in particular that have specifically we've had problems with that are just glaring? Customers right now, they need something now and we just don't have it and we just can't get it because it's not being manufactured.
Absolutely. Right now, probably one of the biggest issues is our security industry. We're having a tough time getting all the equipment that we need for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically DSC is the big one. They make an awesome product. Their panels are fantastic, but man, we have any back orders? We've had some back orders on some key parts, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The DSC, some of the product has been extremely hard to get and been back ordered for months at some point.
Any examples that you've got?
Yeah, like the their touchscreen, the 7-inch touchscreen, some of their Neo product, which is kind of almost their flagship. They have the Pro as well, but the Neo in particular.
Like the panels and the keypads?
Panels, the keypads, some of the peripherals. It's pervasive. There's quite a few items that they're having an issue with. And, you know, in their defense a bit, they're obviously, like you said, they're a great product. And we love the DSC stuff. But internally, they had issues. We had another one of our big manufacturers, Interlogix, the GE platform, that completely folded and went out of business. And they left a lot of people hanging when they did that. And DSC has you know, to their credit, has been trying their hardest to pick up the slack. But that caused, you know, that caused a lot of backlog. People wanted something new, wanted to shift to something else. And DSC seemed to be the most logical option for almost everybody at that point, but they've just had a lot of issues, you know, trying to keep, we can't keep their product.
It's almost like they couldn't keep up with the volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the market shift, like everybody decided that they wanted to go buy DSC because DSC had the brand recognition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they just couldn't keep up on the volume. It was a tough thing.
Yeah.
And then I through the pipeline of independent distribution, because there is a pipeline of network, it's not like a cartel per se, but the word that I have heard is that some of the DSC manufacturing was happening overseas. And they were trying to move everything back over here because of the pinch from tariffs. And the manufacturing was changed to Mexico, I believe, is where they started building their plants. Is that right?
Yeah.
And this coronavirus happened right in the middle of that manufacturing shift. That is the rumor that's milling around in the, you know, in the distribution
line. Yeah, absolutely.
So anyhow, what a bad time, you know, for DSC. It's kind of bad timing, but
yeah, absolutely.
We have some back orders that are what, thousands of, I mean, we're being told by DSC that they're back ordered by thousands of items, thousands of product in a single SKU, like a keypad. One of our competitors had, I believe, a back order for like 1.2 million items for one single SKU. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's a problem. There's no doubt in the industry.
Cool. Well, not cool, but you know, that's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah,
that we've got.
Yeah.
So, how, you know, if there is a backlog or a back order on like a keypad, how long traditionally have they taken to fulfill an order? If we put an order in,
absolutely. Usually, I mean, a company like DSC, it was pretty quick. As long as they had it in the greater United States, it only took us, you know, 5 business days probably to get something like that in.
versus now, what are we being told at all now? How far we're waiting?
To tell you the truth, most of the stuff that we try to order that we usually sell, the big ticket items, the most popular of their items, are usually back ordered about 3 months right now.
Yeah.
That's usually where it's at.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's tricky. So I don't know if DSC has seen an impact from tariffs or not, other than this. I mean, any pricing increases or anything like that that you've noticed?
Across the board, almost all manufacturers have increased their pricing at least 5%. I think it's probably more like 10 or 12% that everything's gone up just recently over this last year. And it started with the tariffs, without a doubt. So I know everybody's feeling that one. Some companies are a little more upfront with it, and they say, well, here, we're just going to tack on. Here's your extra 7%. We're showing it to you up front. Some of them just build it into the price that they're selling the product. They just...
Yeah, those... Honeywell was very good about telling everybody, hey, by the way, there's a price increase coming. And it seems like we were getting a new price increase notice like every 20 days.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Honeywell's been another one. Definitely.
But the thing that I don't like about what they did, and this is just going to be a little Cameron vent. I know that it might be tacky, but I don't like how they built their pricing increases into the cost of the item. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like Potter, they said, all right, we're going to add a 2% or 3% increase on every item that comes in as a tariff. To me, that's fair, because what happens is when the tariff goes away, the cost of the item doesn't change. Honeywell has said, hey, we're going to build the cost of the tariff right into the cost of the item. So like the example that I always give everybody is the 6808. Man, I think we were selling that panel right around $700 or $750 or something, and now it's gone up 30%. Yeah. You know, massive increases across the board on all the Honeywell product with no guarantees that that's going to come down.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of discouraging.
It can be, definitely.
And I've been out talking to people, and they said, well, it's a good thing that we don't rely on Honeywell for all of our sales. And they're not happy with it. And they've also had difficulty with manufacturing, getting product to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, I've got, we have some answers here, and that's the purpose of the podcast. But first, I just wanted to let everybody know that they can email any questions or comments or requests to us at armyourself@arlenco.com. Just email us at armyourself@arlenco.com, and we will try to address everything. And if you have any suggestions, if you want to know kind of how things are going for us, you know, in distribution, we are glad to talk about it on this show. So I know podcasts are kind of becoming, with the everybody being quarantined and being locked down, it's kind of a popular platform. But normally at Arlenco, we're a very social company. We like to see our customers and have people come in and have barbecues. I mean, that's our thing, right? The barbecues. And we invite everybody in, and we can't do that. It's kind of torturous, really, to be honest, because I love visiting with everybody, and I'm sure that you do too. We have friends. Our customers are our friends here, and we can't see them. So hopefully this provides a little vent for that. But we were going to have this Arm Yourself showcase where we invited in five manufacturers that were going to help us address some of these big issues and that our industry is seeing right now. You know, like a little teaser for next week. I think we're going to try and do this one next week, but we'll look at the show notes and then decide. But next week, we were going to talk about integration with Alexa, the Amazon platform. We have a product that works well with the Alexa platform. And then, you know, SimpliSafe, you know, how can our customers fight the onslaught of SimpliSafe? And I said it in the last episode, my personal opinion of this is that we don't necessarily have to be in at battle with SimpliSafe or Amazon Alexa. I feel like if we hitch up to that rein, those horses, and then they create a market and build a market, we're already doing what we know as professionals, and we know these industries, and we're doing it better than they are. You know, a dentist isn't going to install a motion detector effectively compared to like one of our customers.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, they'll put a motion detector in front of a plant that, and I've seen this, you know, a fan will kick on and move the plant and it'll create a false alarm. And then the police are not thrilled to be responding to that kind of, and this is a huge issue that SimpliSafe is introducing into the market space, where these people are going to have problems. And then what'll really happen is it'll saturate the market, I think, and it'll water it down. People won't be security conscious. They'll be looking at other bells and whistles like we tend to do, right? With the rings and stuff like that. But but we've got solutions for all of that here. And hopefully we can help drive the market a little bit toward the professionals and installing systems that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. There's always going to be a niche for professionally installed security for a lot of those reasons that you were just mentioning. So it's a matter of having the right product to sell and the right sales pitch to get those customers, basically. And that's what we'd like to be here for, is to help everybody out with that.
Yeah, I'll never forget. We did a surveillance system for a school. Very, very intelligent people. But they were on the datacom side, not on the surveillance side. So they didn't understand a lot of the optics and stuff like that, that are built into the technology. And so they went through and they specified the project. They laid out all the cameras and they did what they wanted to do. But when we reviewed the drawings, we were like, wow, you know, you missed this. Are you sure this is what you want? And they didn't quite understand that. They understood the tech and they understood how to maintain the tech. And the other problem was that they introduced a platform that didn't have years of field test work done on it. And very, very expensive platform. They spent a lot of money on this thing, but it was not reliable, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we have a product on the shelves UniView makes. It's a UNV or UniView, depending on who you talk to, but it does everything that they wanted to, that these guys wanted to do, for a quarter of the price. Mm-hmm. And it's better, it's designed for it, and it works with its own cameras. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good product. And it's unfortunate that that these guys spent so much money on this thing and they didn't have to. It was installed well because we installed it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
But it wasn't the best. So anyhow, so to address the security issue, the volume, the throughput, what products do we have, do we carry, that people can use? So we had the discontinuation of Interlogix, which was massive, and then DSC. You know, what have we got on the shelves?
I personally really like all of the Alula stuff. The Alula platform is great. I also, and a little follow-up.
Why, if you were to pick something off the shelf for your house, what would you choose?
For residential, it's definitely going to be the Alula.
And that's not because, I'm assuming, that's not because you prefer the other platforms. It's just not available, so you would go to the Alula. I think it's because you prefer the Alula.
It's true. I like all of the features that it has. It's in the, today's day and age, especially in the security industry, because we're battling the Simply Safes and the Comcast and those type of people, you have to be able to offer something that's similar to what they're offering. And a lot of that is the full home automation and integration style stuff. I mean, that's what everybody wants. They want the app. They want to be able to turn their lights on or check their doorbell or, you know, arm their system while they're away from their house or, you know, any of those types of situations. It's all really technologically driven, and Alula hits all of those buttons. It fits all of those bills, basically. It's a really powerful system. And then not only that, not only is it powerful, but it's reasonably easy to install. So it makes it so that you can be a competitive, basically, as a security guy trying to sell Alula to a homeowner.
And the hosting platform. So generally, alarm.com has kind of become the de facto go-to. And it's very, very good, very solid, but it's a little more expensive, isn't it, than what the Alula platform uses?
It is, absolutely. Yeah, they're...
So what platform do they use as the back end for their, do you know? Is it SecureNet?
I think it's SecureNet, yeah, okay. is the...
And that seemed very, very straightforward, very fast, very powerful.
Very comparable to Alarm.com, but like you were saying, it's quite a bit less expensive, and it's the residual income can be something that you could look into with a platform like that too, because of that.
Cool. What about like on the small business commercial side of things? We're really kind of where the DSC product plays, the marketplace that the DSC product plays in.
Yeah, for that application, I would probably choose some of the NAPCO security. They're built well. They look really good. They still have all of the same capabilities, basically, that a DSC system would. You know, the hardwire takeover, so that if there was already peripherals in place, it's easy to just take over somebody else's system. I mean, and their communicators also as well make all of that whole job so much easier.
The communicators, they own that game.
They do.
In my mind, they are by far the best communicators out there.
I agree. Yeah.
It's almost like NAPCO. What they did was they took, you know, we might not be the best represented on the sales front right now, but what we'll do is we'll just focus all of our energy on engineering and manufacturing and then make these, because we sell a lot of these communicators, right?
We do. Well, yeah, the Starlink is the number one communicator in the store by far.
For good reason.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of good reasons why the Starlink is so great. They offer a dual path solution.
For fire.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Their security stuff is two-way programmable, right?
It is.
Like you can literally send your programs over the cellular communicator.
Yeah, you really can. Yeah, you can program it remotely if you needed to. They come pre-programmed already, basically. The install is usually super simple and super easy. Right now, they're offering quite a few rebates too. If you
buy a radio, and I guess it's already activated.
Yeah, it's already
then
activated.
NAPCO already activates a radio.
Pre-activated.
So basically, it's not technically lick and stick, but pretty much you install that sucker on there, and then they light up. And if you have a dealer account set up with NAPCO already, the radio is already tied to the account.
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely.
So you can sideload a program onto a panel through the cellular communicator, which I don't know if any of the other systems can do that. As far as I know, I don't think they can.
It's the only one that I know of as well at this point. I could be wrong, obviously. Yeah. But
so the Starlink Connect is their home. And it's not technically entirely for home, but it's more on the security side, right?
Yeah.
So on the fire side, what have you got? The Starlink
So that it would be the Starlink Connect is the security. So the regular Starlink is what they,
okay.
You know, it's the,
they have a metallic can version of the radio, and then yes. They have a plastic enclosure. One you can power off of the panel, right? You can pull power off the panel. The other one is independently powered.
Absolutely.
If the code requirement
comes with a transformer. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So the Starlink Connect, as far as I know, that panel, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but that communicator is universal.
Yeah.
And you can buy one that has a Z-Wave radio built into it, right?
Correct. So built in.
So basically you can add automation into a panel just by adding this radio. And then you use the iBridge platform, I believe is what they call it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you use the iBridge platform for automation. You can arm, disarm your system. You can configure it. And you can also use the Z-Wave automation on the panel.
Yes.
With the radio. That's all you need is the radio. You don't have to add anything to the panel itself to get that.
Absolutely. All through that iBridge.
And it's very reasonably priced radio too, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's the best price on the market. Nobody even comes close to it.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. The radio also, that Starlink universal communicator, you can send a DSC. It will work on a DSC and a Honeywell panel.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you can use the iBridge backend for the Honeywell or the DSC panels, and you can configure, you can actually drop a program onto these panels using the Starlink communicator, which is incredible to me.
Yeah.
And to top that off, what I like about the NAPCO offering is they've got this iBridge touch keypad that's universal. It's a 7-inch, right?
Yeah.
Seven inch LCD screen keypad. It's wall mountable. They don't have a desktop mount. And at first I was like, why wouldn't you do that? But it's because they've written a very, very good app that you can install on an iPad or whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't need the desktop mount for this platform because the application is so good. But that is also universal because it taps into the iBridge platform. It does not tie directly to the panel. It's basically a gateway, as I understand it, to the iBridge platform. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Anyhow, you theoretically could buy the iBridge Touch keypad and the Starlink Universal Communicator and throw it on any panel like a Honeywell Vista or the DSC Power Series or the DSC Neo Series panel. It should work on any of those because the communicator is really sort of the genius behind it, right?
Yeah, as far as I understand it, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll have to get our NAPCO sales reps on a future call to talk a little bit more about that. Any other thoughts why you like the NAPCO? What is there a line that NAPCO has that is directly comparable with the DSC lines?
Well, the all of their Gemini panels are it's a good direct comparison, basically. Absolutely. You can they have the same sort of the same size breakdown. Usually, you know, there's 16 zones, you know, 32 zones, that type of situation. So they do that as well. 16 zone, 32 zones, 64 zones. I think 128, and then I mean all the way up to.
They have a 255.
Yeah, they have like a 2. Yeah,
and that monster, that's going to be big. But they also have one that has an addressable circuit on it, which has been tapped for the Firewolf panel, so you can get a CF version of that panel, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So pretty much, they throw the entire kitchen sink at you, and
yes.
it's tricky to weed out what. And maybe that's probably where their marketing lacks just a teeny bit is its long tail. They have so many good products. They throw every single option at you. And then you've got to weed out what ones. But
yeah.
So what are the model numbers for the comparables for everybody's listening?
There's the P816, the P1632, and the P1664.
Those are kind of the three panels that you would use instead of the
Yeah, they're the most common. I mean, in usually in a commercial application, so I mean, you might get up to that 128 or 200 channels, but for the most part, I would say 75 or 80% of what you're going to be installing is going to be these smaller systems, you know, the smaller business systems,
yeah,
basically.
And you've brought some of these in to our stores, right?
Yeah, yeah, we have some in stock today, absolutely.
Yeah, so, and how long did it take to get these things once we ordered them?
NAPCO's been great about it, to tell you the truth. They've been able to keep up with demand, and it only took us, you know, 4 or 5 days, I think, four business days.
Once we dropped the order, 4 or 5 days, yeah. Business days to get the product in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, the price point on these things is also comparable to the Power Series and Neo. Maybe, I don't know, it's comparable.
It's very comparable. It might be a little bit more, but what NAPCO does really, really well is the quality of manufacturer as well. Basically, their parts all look really nice. They're not built in a cheesy fashion. Everything's assembled well.
The cabinet is a thicker steel, than the other competing products. The circuit boards, these things are bomb-proof pretty much, right?
The keypads feel nice. You know, the manufacturer of the NAPCO stuff is definitely worth a little bit of extra money, what they've gone through.
And then you can get them in packs, right? They call them packs, but basically it's a kit. It's got a transformer and a keypad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seemed like the price on those was pretty darn reasonable as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's very competitive. All of the NAPCO stuff is.
These Gemini panels, as I look through them, it looks to me like the 1664 is really kind of their flagship, mm-hmm. Because you can get the panel with a voice driver. So if somebody wants to have voice on their keypad, that is the panel that supports that. The other two, in fact, all the other NAPCO panels, I don't know if it's got the voice driver, but that one is the one that's loaded with all the features. The other two, that, as far as I can tell, have most of the same features.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I guess I should say, I understand the integration side, because when you take on a new platform, you've got to train your guys, right?
Yeah.
You have to invest resources in teaching them the new product. And that isn't fun, and it can be expensive, but a good technician, generally what they'll do is they'll realize, you know, the tech is very similar. It's almost the same. And they can generally figure this stuff out. But what happens is they develop a tendency to like a certain product. And in my case, the first panel that I installed was the CADX NX8. I serviced them all, the Morse NBC16s, the Moose panels, all the panels that are out there. But that was my favorite for a very long time, until I started doing the DSC panels, like the Maxxis's and the Power Series panels. But I had a taste for this CADX NX8, and it was always in the back of my mind. And so whenever I've spec'd NAPCO panel onto a job, whether it was their Firewolf panel or something else, the technician inevitably comes back and says, well, it doesn't do this, and it doesn't do this, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. But when you dig into it, it's just that the technician didn't want to have to learn how to do that on the new platform. But the panels themselves, in my mind, it's a very, very good product, almost superior, and they offer a lot of options. So you pair this with the universal communicator and with the touch screen, I think it's difficult to reproduce that on any other platform. I think the options and power that you get from that. And then you can also add, as far as I know, they have a Starlink camera, an iBridge camera that works. Mm-hmm. Now this camera ties into the system, does it not?
It does.
So you can actually pull up the camera views from their cameras on these universal touch screens. So basically you're getting an all-in-one solution without having to piece different items together. You know, like an end user would have a Ring doorbell. These guys have a doorbell camera, a Ring doorbell with something else. And, you know, what else are they using out there for security? Ring eventually will probably start releasing motion detectors and door switches and that kind of stuff, but if they haven't already, but it's very modular, very broken, and then that all ties into a different platform. So
are there any deals right now at Arlenco that someone listening to right now could capitalize on, you know?
Yeah, there are. So we've got sales on the 1664 pack, the 1632 pack, the 816 pack. We have deals on the iBridge. There's all kinds of rebates on the Starlink communicators. If you want to know more about those deals, you can call into the stores and ask our people. They should all be aware of these, but and we'll try to post some of these deals in the show notes after we get this done. But we can't talk about pricing, of course, because we're a wholesaler. But I'll just say that these deals are pretty incredible deals, and I really think that now is the time to start looking at moving into a different product line for these things.
I mean, really, kind of in closing, it's more about the information that we all have and that we all share together. Basically, it's kind of what this podcast is about. It's the Arm Yourself podcast, but it's that what we're trying to get everybody to do is arm themselves with information. There are ways that we can combat these Simply Safes. There are ways that we can combat the lack of product from some manufacturers in the market. There's a lot of things. We have a lot of solutions here at Arlenco, and we're here to help. We truly are, and we want to arm everybody with the information that we have to make the industry better for everybody involved.
Yeah, well said. Thank you.
Well, there's always going to be great new things that come out of other companies, and you want to be in a position to benefit from those, to have those inventions drive demand.